Hello and welcome to the Veterans Ascend Weekly Podcast. Today is Christmas Eve and the last podcast of 2019. We are especially honored to speak with military spouse Erica Clark and Army veteran and military spouse Ty Kimes. Both are members and employees with Blue Star Families, so a very important topic for us to talk about today. Erica is a highly effective program manager, transitioning military and military spouse subject matter expert. Currently a career manager in Jacksonville, Florida with Blue Star Families. She is a veteran spouse and knows firsthand the challenges military spouses face being separated from their loved ones, as well as employment challenges for military spouses and the solutions that Blue Star Families offers. Ty is a chapter director in Missouri with Blue Star Families, a veteran, a military brat, a spouse to a wounded warrior, a certified youth etiquette coach, an entrepreneur, an advocate for caregivers, an event planner, a teacher, a connector, a mother, someone who loves the movie Elf, which is a great thing at this time of year, and a human being who believes that happy people are the prettiest. I love that because I totally believe that as well. We are privileged to hear about Ty's service in the Army, her transition from the military, Ty and Erica's experience as military spouses, all about the great programs at Blue Star Families and what it's like to be away from their loved ones during the holidays. So Ty and Erica, thank you so much for your time today. I appreciate it. Merry Christmas Eve. Ty, tell us about your service in the Army, your transition, and what are your experiences as a veteran being away from home for the holidays?
Well, thank you, Robin, for having me on today. Eric and I are both excited to be here. So time as a soldier. Well, let's see. I started in the Army. I served 6 years, and it was very interesting. Mm-hmm. You know, I grew up as a military brat, and I knew that I wanted to serve our country by joining the military. Originally, I wanted to fly aircrafts and be a part of the Blue Angels, but I ended up becoming a 73 Charlie, which is a finance specialist. So I handled soldiers' pay, I dealt with accounting, and needless to say, I definitely had a lot of friends. Yes. My first duty station was in Korea, and I remember being there for the holidays. Everyone was, you know, we kind of made our own family, you know, our unit and those of us in the barracks, we all kind of came together. And it was the first time kind of being away from home. And I cooked my mom's infamous pineapple ham and I did her potato salad. But I remember calling her, you know, the time difference wasn't, I didn't get it right. But she still answered the call and gave me her recipe. And I cooked in this tiny little kitchen. And I was cooking for everybody there in my unit, there in the barracks. We wanted to make sure that nobody was left out. And so that was one of the beautiful things that I do remember about being active duty is just the culture of connecting, you know, and that sense of community. So that was really, really what made my holiday time away, being away from family. I created my own family there within the military. So
absolutely. And that totally resonates. I remember when I was in the Navy, my first really far away assignment was Iceland. And the first Christmas I was there, and of course this was many, many years ago. So we didn't have email, we didn't have cell phones, we didn't have internet. And so you couldn't get to call home very often from Iceland. And so you truly did, like you said, you created your own family in the military and everybody gathered together and made sure nobody was left out and everybody, you know, had something, some way of celebrating the holidays as a family. And it was tough, but it's funny because sometimes I don't even remember, like it was harder on my family than it was on me, right? Because I was surrounded by what I considered my military family, right? So I think it was harder on my parents and my brother and sister, looking back on it now, than it was on me. So so yeah, that's awesome. Very, very good points there. So Miss Erica, tell us about your experience as a military spouse and one of your experience as a family member, great segue, being away from your loved ones during the holidays.
Absolutely. So I was a military spouse for as long as I can remember. We won't say how many years because that'll just show my age. So since I was a military spouse, and it is the best, hardest, most amazing thing in the entire world, spouse. But being away from your family or being having your loved one away from you during the holidays is the absolute hardest part of it all. It's like a piece of your heart is not with you. So we would always, I would have to keep it lively for the children always. And we would have a daddy doll. And my husband's picture was on this daddy doll. And he had a spot at the dinner table. He had a plate of food. He had presents to open. And even here, I tried to so much make him a part of the day and the experience and the time so the kids didn't miss out on those and try to keep that happy face for them.
Yeah, that's great. That it's awesome. I had never heard anybody talk about having a daddy doll. That's wonderful because it really keeps him in the room and keeps him there. So that's wonderful. Well, thank you for sharing that. It is difficult. As I mentioned, looking back, when I think about it now, if I were to think of my daughter or my son-in-law going in the military and being away, it would be really tough to keep that happy face and not miss them during this time of year. So awesome. All right, Ty, first tell us what defines a Blue Star family, and then talk with us about the community programs at Blue Star Families that bring together the public, private, philanthropic, and military communities to better serve our military families.
Absolutely. I'd love to talk to you more about our stronger communities, if that's our goal. And listening to Erica's talk, we had a daddy doll too. So aww, that helped us as we was deployed. But a Blue Star family. So our Blue Star family members are basically anyone who's affiliated with the military, whether active duty, a veteran, National Guard or Reserve member, maybe it's the spouse or dependent child. It could be anyone who's Army, Air Force, Navy, Marine, Coast Guard. It really doesn't matter the branch. Our Blue Star family members, they're Gold Star family members, you know, those that have lost a service member. They're Silver Star family members, those that have had a service member that was wounded in the war. There's basically anyone affiliated with the military is a Blue Star family member. And our Blue Star family neighbors are the civilians. They're anyone who are not directly connected with the military, but they have a love of our military. You know, some of them are our neighbors. Some are teachers. Some are parents of a service member with no time in service themselves. Basically, anyone is welcome to join us and become a part of our Blue Star family. So one thing that I really love about Blue Star families is they do a survey every year. We do a survey every year called the Military Family Lifestyle Survey. And I don't know if you've heard about this survey, but it is the largest and most comprehensive survey of active duty service members, veterans, and their families. In 2018, we had over 10,000 respondents take this survey.
Wow.
And I love it because basically, we're giving our military families a voice. And so all of our programs, everything that we do is based off of the results from this survey. So we had five top issues that kind of come out of this survey that we kind of look at every year. And in 2018, those top five issues were, number one, time away from military family, which is what we're talking about right now, time away, right? Number two was military child education. Number three was the impact of deployment on children. Number four was military pay and benefits. And number five was kind of split. It was military spouse employment. That was a heavy, big issue for our spouses. And military family quality of life. That was what was the fifth one for our service members. So again, we take all this data. We share it with legislators, we share it with military stakeholders, we seek partnerships, and we create programming based off of the results to solve the top family military issues. So you asked me about programs. So our programs, we have Blue Star Books. Thankfully, with our partnership with Disney, we get thousands of books. My husband, you know, he loves it and hates it at the same time because, you know, we get thousands of books that come out in a crate. There's an 18-wheeler that drops it off at our house, and it kind of takes up room in our garage for a little bit until we can get those out distributed. There's Blue Star Parks our partnership with the National Park Trust, our Blue Star Museums, our partnership with National Endowment for the Arts. We've got Blue Star Caregivers. Of course, that's really important to me. We're a Silver Star family. My husband was injured overseas. You know, we also have Blue Star Careers, which I'll let Erica tell you a lot more about that. But all of our programs and everything that we do is just so important, and it really helps make a stronger community for our military families. And I personally, you know, for the first time in my life, being a military brat, being in the service myself, I finally feel like I'm part of a community. And that is a beautiful and powerful thing for a military affiliated family member to be able to say that they feel a part of a community. That connection piece is something really good. And so all of our programs are about that, about connecting and about solving those top military family issues.
That's awesome. Yeah, it really is true, because one of the struggles that I know veterans in particular have when they get out of the military is that sense of community and that sense of brotherhood or sisterhood, because they had that in the military, as we talked about it. It becomes your family, and when you leave that, you lose that to a degree. So this is great. I'm so happy that we're doing this, because I had no idea that Blue Star Families had all these programs. So I'm so grateful to get to share this with our audience and know about all of these things, including Blue Star Neighbors. That's really great. A lot of people ask us how we can get involved, so it's wonderful to have this knowledge now. I love that you're focused on, one of the things that came out was child education for the military children, and the impact to children on the deployments. Because, you know, I've got 4 grand cherubs, and they're very resilient, but they do get impacted by things around them. And there are sometimes invisible things. You don't even realize that they're watching, or they're picking up on things, that your sad face because your loved one is gone, or it's a tough day and you're all by yourself, you know, dealing with everything in the household. So that's great that they're really looking at the impact to the kids too. So we kind of talked about this with your survey. Is there any other ways that Blue Star Families identifies opportunities or provides resources that speak, you know, directly to real and current needs? Is there anything else other than the survey that you'd want to mention?
Absolutely. You know, we have so many programs. You know, right now we're looking at 2020 having 11 chapters, you know, in the area. And one thing we love about our chapters is, being a chapter director myself, we're here on the ground. So we're the ones out, we're listening to our family members. We are holding the events for members to kind of come and get connected. You know, when you talked about the deployment piece, one of the things that I am thankful that I worked on this year was with Build-A-Bear. Build-A-Bear partnered with us at a Yellow Ribbon event, and they donated the Build-A-Bear, the bears that have the little voice in them. Mm-hmm. And family members, the service members were there, and they recorded their voice. They recorded a message and allowed our family members to keep the bears. And I followed up with some of those family members, and so many of them, you know, have the stories. You know, they're like, oh my God, my child loves the bear. My child is sleeping with the bear all the time. But one story kind of stuck out to me. It talked about a first grader who brought his bear to school to share with his class, as his teacher was, they were doing a lesson on government. And he brought the bear so he could show his friends, one, you know, how he's coping when he's missing his dad. But also, you know, it really helped them to be able to see how a decision that's made in government trickles down and affects those, you know, kind of every day. But that wouldn't have been possible without kind of our chapter directors being on the ground and asking those questions and listening and working hard to make those connections. And each area is going to be different. Each area where there is a chapter, we're going to have different connections. We're going to be able to do different programs. Some of them you may see on our program flyer, but there are others that you may not, you know, like you probably wouldn't have heard about Build-A-Bear, giving those bears out to our family members. But that was through, you know, the partnership and the work of the chapter directors. And also, even if you're not in one of the chapter areas, you know, we have amazing volunteers that provide support and that are able to run programs. Our Starbucks events, our Starbucks coffee chats are amazing at connecting. And sometimes it's just a small thing. Sometimes people think, you know, oh, if I can't do this big grand event, or if I can't give, you know, this big insurmountable amount of money to our military families, then I'm not going to be making an impact. But sometimes those small impacts, you know, are definitely the ones that are making the greatest impact in our military families. And it varies from chapter to chapter and from area, but we are nationwide, so anyone can get involved anywhere.
That's great. Now, are all the chapter locations, or is all that information on the Blue Star Family website? Can people find it there? Okay. All right, good. Well, we'll give that out at the end of the program here, and everybody can look for that. So that's awesome. I love that. And I love that, I don't know if the teacher, you know, kind of helped that student bring the bear in for the impact of, like you said, understanding how government decisions, especially for the military, impact even the smallest little piece. And that's a great lesson for the rest of that class. That's awesome. So Ms. Erica, talk to us about the solutions Blue Star Families offers for programs to enhance family life, help spouses find jobs, caregivers, essential peer support, and then connect families with their civilian neighbors to build strong communities. Talk to us about those programs.
Absolutely. So what I absolutely love about Blue Star Families is we're connecting our military families within the communities that they live in. So we want to bridge that military-civilian divide and show them that we may be different, we may be moving, but let's come together while we're here and build these strong relationships. And Blue Star Families really helps with that by doing different programs that involves both civilians, our neighbors, and our military community. So I just love all of our programs that we do. We invite our civilian counterparts because we want to bridge, like I said, bridge that divide. Have them understand our world and us understand their world just a little bit more, because they are two very different worlds. So I am the career manager with Blue Star Families. I've been here for about 3 years, and we have been doing some serious, groundbreaking, amazing work, if I do say so myself. We have an amazing program called Spouse Force. It's our new tech-forward online portal. We pair that with a Blue Star career manager, which are in our chapters. And we create connections between military spouses, training partners, and employers. So we work with a lot of the very big resources for military spouse careers. So people like Hire Heroes USA, Onward to Opportunity, people like them that provide resources and training opportunities for military spouses for free of charge. So on top of that, Spouse Force, it's an online portal, like I said, and you go in there and you do what, where, and why about you. What is a military spouse? How much of an education do you have? Where have you worked? What level are you at? We want to know everything about your work history because we want to show employers and decision makers that the value that military spouses bring. So no, we are not barefoot pregnant in the kitchen. We are out there and we are working and we are making more money than our active duty counterpart. So, we highlight your the spouse's education, skills, and conditions needed in order to be successful in the workplace. So just for this year, our average salary of spouses that we've placed in positions, and when I say placed, helped find positions. Spouses get their own jobs. We help them. We help them get connected to employers who are wanting to hire military spouses. That average salary is $52,000 a year. We have helped so many spouses this year, over 550 spouses find positions totaling over $55 million in economic impact to military family homes. This is an amazing number to look at and say our military spouses are absolutely amazing. They are doing the work needed to get their resume together. They are hitting the ground running when they get to a new duty station. It's not easy to find a community and network when you are PCSing every 3 years. A lot of the things that I find is when we talk to employers, they say, oh, well, what's a military spouse? They're just going to leave me in 2 years anyway. Well, that's not always technically the case. You can have, I mean, I know orders here where I live are about three-year orders. The average turnover time right now is about 2 years. So you're keeping that military spouse for just as long as our civilian counterparts. But $55 million is an incredibly impactful number. And we're really making our mark in the communities and helping spouses find careers.
That's amazing. So a couple things you touched on. So you're talking about bridging the divide. We know that, what is it, less than 1% of the population actually serves in the military. So there is a huge divide between the civilian communities and the military communities. So it's great that you're doing all of these programs to bring those two together. And the spouse force, I mean, I think SHRM, which is the Society for HR Management, they put out a number that said 43% of military spouses will say that employment is a major decision in whether or not their spouse stays in the military. So when you think about this all-voluntary force and having almost half of the force decide to stay in or get out based on their spouse being able to get employment and be gainfully employed is critical to our national security. It's huge, and people just don't realize that. And then all talking about the employers that say, oh, you're going to leave us in 2 years. You know, there's a lot of programs out there that employers need to look at and say, if I spend 2 years training this person, how can I keep them? And even if it's a remote, a new location, but you've invested in them and you've gotten an ROI that's probably 10 times greater than another civilian sitting next to them. Because they're so dedicated, because they're so organized, because there's so many skills that a military spouse brings to the table because of what they go through when they PCS and when they move around to different locations. You know, the spouse is the one that's setting up the home every time you go, you know, and getting the kids into schools and finding the dent and finding all those things that you need in the community. And that takes logistics and operations and finance and all of these skills. So that's amazing. That impact is huge. You're right. That 55 million is it's amazing. So congratulations on all that work. Go ahead, Erica.
I'm sorry, I just wanted to touch base on what you were saying, but we do all that and we do it. And then there are spouses that have jobs before they even get to their duty station. So they're doing all that while starting a new job. It is absolutely incredible what a military spouse can do. I know, I moved to Jacksonville from Key West, Florida a month before my husband did because I got a job and they needed me to start that day. I drove 8 hours for the interview because they wanted me in person, but I needed a job. I always said we were champagne taste and beer money. I needed to work.
Right.
So I wanted to. We do have to put those extra steps in place and you have to be willing to do that. But military spouses, I mean, they're amazing and they do all of those things. And even I want to touch on our transitioning too. For those active duty members who are getting out of the military, that's a huge adjustment. And I have to say, just transitioned out of the military, it was the hardest thing of our entire lives. And if it were not for me having planted in a great career, we would have been up the creek without a paddle. It took him 2 years to find a job.
Wow.
Degree.
That's
why I tell spouses it's important to have your own career because it carry you through that transition. Because it's not a matter of if, it's when we transition out of the military. It's going to happen at some, whether it be forced or whether it be retirement or whether it be by choice. It's going to happen at some point and we all need to be prepared. So it was very hard transition for my husband, and without my career and that income, it would have been even harder.
Yeah, absolutely. No, you're absolutely right. And I think one of the things you touched on was, you know, being a dual income family, you know, in this day and age, first from economics perspective, a lot of families have to be, let's face it, the military doesn't pay, you know, six-figure salaries to everybody, right? So from an economic perspective, you need those two salaries. But then also from just a professional career development, spouses want to work. Spouses want to be in the workforce. And as you mentioned, absolutely, it makes that transition for the veteran so much easier, that service member, if their spouse is settled and has a great career and they can have the time they need to take. Now, hopefully, that 2 years, that's a long time. And one of the reasons that we created Veterans Ascend to help bridge that that time that it takes to transition, by helping veterans understand what their skills are and helping employers see the skills that veterans bring to the table. So, but wow, 2 years, that's very sad. But not unusual, unfortunately.
And I want to say that our program is open to spouses of veterans as well.
Okay.
You don't just have to be active duty. Like Ty said, caregivers, spouses, active duty, post 9/11, before anything, if you are a spouse, please, we want you to join our community. And veterans who are also dual military, y'all are spouses, so you can double dip in that game.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's a great point. And I, again, not having my own knowledge and understanding fully of Blue Star families, I'm so glad that we're being able to share this, because I didn't know that as a, you know, as a veteran and getting, being able to, or a spouse of a veteran getting, being able to get your services. So that's wonderful. So thank you for that. You've talked about the impact on the employment side. Are there other impact numbers that you want to talk about from the 1.5 million military family members around the world that have benefited from Blue Star Family Programs? Are there other impacts that you want to tell us about?
Gosh, we have so many. I think our survey tells a lot of how you're impacted by taking that survey. Things are changing. Things are coming to the forefront, understanding our trials, our troubles, and understanding those and having decision maker look and say, hey, this is what military really need. That is how we can impact so much more.
That's great.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So Ty, kind of close us out here and tell our listeners how to get involved and support Blue Star families. And if they are a Blue Star family member, which now everyone should know that they probably are in some capacity,
yeah,
how they can get support. So kind of tell us how they do that.
Well, I definitely want to say you have to sign up to become a member, but membership is free. And this way we can send you notifications, let you know about all the upcoming events. We can, whether you're local to Missouri or in Tennessee or in Texas, wherever, you should be able to kind of get connected, whether it's through a volunteer program. You want to go to our website, www.bluestarfam.org. So it's going to be FAM, short for families.org. You can find us on Facebook. We have different, there's a Blue Star Families of Missouri. So if you're in Missouri, our main page is Blue Star Family. So you can search that on Facebook if you're on there, but definitely get connected. Take some time to sign up as a member, to sign up as a volunteer. You can click join, you can click volunteer once you're on the bluestarfam.org website, and just get connected. We cannot build a stronger community without our military family members and without our civilian neighbors and members, those who want to give and help and support. So definitely get connected. And, you know, if I can, Robin, I'd like to just share a couple of quotes, testimonials, if you will, feedback from our family members who've participated and who have signed up to actually become those members.
Absolutely. Love to hear them.
So we have a program called Serving, Thriving, and Reading Together. And in New York, Tennessee, and Jacksonville, San Diego, they've done this program. And one service member, who's a father, he said, this was a great opportunity for my kids to discover the joy of reading. Working with the library gave them a new experience outside of school and home. I really appreciated this. Now they are constantly asking to go to the library to get new books. I mean, what an amazing way of connecting our military family members. And,
absolutely,
you know, kind of solving the issue of military child education, you know, kind of getting them connected. So there's another one that happened in D.C. It was a NASA Observe the Moon Night. A family member said, the highlight of the night was my five-year-old daughter chatting with Charles Bolden after his presentation. She wants to be an astronaut. He was the first one she met in person. What an amazing opportunity. So there, I'll share one more.
Okay.
This one is from, there's so many, but these are the things that, like, when you talk about impacts, for me, I'm like, sure. I want to hear the story. I want to hear and know what really, how are we making an impact in the lives of our family members? You know, Sleep Number Beds, I got the opportunity to, we partnered with Sleep Number Beds and the Kansas City Chiefs out here in Missouri. And Travis Kelce from the Kansas City Chiefs, you know, he came out and we presented a Sleep Number Bed to a military family. And he said, you know, it's an unbelievable experience to be a part of this, knowing that we're out here helping military families. Sometimes it's just the small things, big and small. You know, personally for me, Boeing had given us tickets to the Spirit of St. Louis Air Show and Science Expo. And my daughter, you know, growing up military, for me, it was beautiful to introduce my children to something that I had experienced growing up. My daughter, 12 at the time, you know, she was just completely smitten with the Royal Air Force, the Red Arrows that were there. Aww. My husband was there. He felt really deeply connected watching the old historical aircrafts flying alongside with the newest technology. You know, he commented often about his grandfather's time in the military service. And, you know, he also reflected on his own. And it was just beautiful things that, again, we can't do without you, without those large organizations, small organizations, partnering and coming together with other nonprofits, but just collaborating with the unbelievable support from our volunteers. And of course, our Blue Star family members. So please, 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 if you haven't done so, take some time and sign up on our website. Join us, become part of our family, bluestarfam.org, and find us on Facebook, follow us, join us.
That's wonderful. Yes, absolutely, everybody do that. I mean, it's just, it really is, you know, I look at it from, I mean, I'm a veteran, so I get it a little bit more, but I also see, I've been out of the Navy for a long time, so I've been a civilian a lot longer than I was in the military, so, and I was out of, you know, away from the military community for a lot of years until just about 5 years ago, when I started getting involved in veteran employment issues, so it really does, it makes a difference, it is an impact. And like you said earlier, even the smallest things can make a difference. You never know what that tiny thing that you do will have, what impact that will have on somebody. So, Ty, thank you so much for your service in the Army. Thank you, you and Erica, both for your service as military spouses. It certainly is a service. We appreciate you sharing these great insights today. I'm so excited to share this with our audience. We applaud what you and Blue Star Families do for military families. Please continue all of those programs. Listeners, as Ty mentioned, for more information on Blue Star Families, please visit their website at www.bluestarfam.org. And for more information on Veterans Ascend or to sign up today, please visit our website at www.veteransascend.com. Thank you both, ladies. Have a wonderful Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And everyone, have a great day.